Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. In California, things are a bit insane. We have fires decimating communities. And so first off, I just want to say so much admiration, respect, love, and support to those fighting the fires. And so much love and compassion and support to those who are affected by the fires. I've been hearing and seeing so many people post online these very personal experiences or interactions with people who've just lost everything. And it's a, you know, as I struggle with issues like, you know, a workout schedule or a professional question or my storage unit. Like I'm one of the things on my to-do list that I'm stressing about is simplifying and purging my storage unit. And there are people, thousands of people, who this week didn't have to make that choice about what they were gonna purge. They lost everything. So it is a good recalibrator as well as a reminder of gratitude and just so much love and support to those who are having to deal with these you know, massive shifts in your life. Today is also Veterans Day. So again, gratitude, appreciation for all those who have served for this country. It is a complicated dynamic, I think, in our country to support the troops, to support those who give this ultimate sacrifice, but also to struggle with some of the objectives and policies and influence that our military has in the world. And I think it's important that we allow those two things to be side by side, that we can have massive appreciation and respect for those that sign up to do the most unthinkable jobs to serve their country, and also do whatever we can to steer the country, to be critical of choices and that don't seem in line with the ideals that we hold for our country. And also trying to make as many diplomatic and global choices and influence to minimize the need for military action. I think the best way you can support troops is by trying to minimize the situations and circumstances by which they will have to sacrifice life and limb, which they have to be deployed away from families. With enough diplomacy, the need for a military presence is minimized. And I think that is important to mention now, because we have the president is making a big deal about his increase in the budget, an increase of $50 billion, $54 billion, something like that, and being very critical of the state of the military and the decrepit, what was his exact words? I can't remember it now. Crumbling and depleted military. And increasing the budget by $54 billion, while at the same time removing almost a similar amount from the State Department budget. That just seems like so insane to remove the tools of diplomacy from our presence in the world and increase our tools of might and force. We have over 30 ambassador positions that are vacant right now. We're not even trying to play nice with the world and avoid conflict. We are flexing our muscles. We are carrying a big stick. And I don't think that is the way to honor those in the military. Yes, of course, people in the military need to have the resources to do their jobs. More so, we need to support veterans with healthcare and mental health care. But even more so than that, we need to minimize the need to put people in those positions. There was the Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, in 2013 said, "If you don't fund the State Department fully, then I need to buy more ammunition ultimately." He said, "So I think it's a cost-benefit ratio. The more that we put into the State Department's diplomacy, hopefully, the less we have to put into a military budget as we deal with the outcome of an apparent American withdrawal from the international scene." That's, again, James Mattis, the Secretary of Defense. So if it was missed, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to veterans. And I think we owe military service people a full diplomatic regimen so we don't squander human lives. I wanted to share something that Amy wrote to me. Amy, if you've heard me talk on some previous broadcasts, is currently pregnant in the second trimester with the child that I contributed my sperm to as a sperm donor. And Amy is a combat veteran from Afghanistan, and she is an incredible person. And when I wrote her yesterday to thank her for her service and let her know my appreciation for her, she wrote back something that really like hit me, and I wanted to share with her permission. She said, "Veterans Day is always a touch bittersweet. It's nice to be remembered and appreciated. I'm proud of my service, though I don't agree with the war I fought in. I really miss my brothers and sisters in arms that I spent every day of a year and a half with in Iraq. Lots to unpack there." I'm sorry, Iraq. I said Afghanistan, Iraq. "In war, life is emotionally simple but incredibly physically difficult. In the civilian world, life is complicated but easy from a survival point of view. It's human nature to prefer the former, which is why soldiers transitioning home is so difficult. I've been home 14 years and I still struggle. This might be the reason why we love Burning Man so much. We put away our phones and can't be inundated with advertisements and politics. The environment makes basic human survival a concern again. We are away from the petty stresses of work and family. We know without doubt that the person standing next to us has our back. It's an interesting comparison," she says. I thought that was a fascinating idea that, you know, in combat, emotions are simple, but life is hard. And in the default world, life is easy, but the emotions are complicated and overwhelming. And so, yeah, thank you, Amy, for that perspective, as well as for your service, as well as for the role you're playing in my life adventure as well. So is Happy Veterans Day the right? I don't think that's the right, the way to celebrate that, but, honorable and memorable and thank you veterans on this Veterans Day. Another thing that I want to talk about today is hugs. What? Hug Nation wants to talk about hugs? And so 20 years ago or so, when I got back from Burning Man, I started to greet people with hugs. I would go to a party and anybody in the room, if it was a small enough party that eventually I would catch anyone's eye at some point, I made a point to walk up and introduce myself and hug them. And it was a little bit unusual to greet someone with a hug. In fact, it was awkward at times, but I felt like it was a type of activism for me. It was a way to say, no, the handshake is a way of keeping distance. A handshake is a way of keeping it official. A handshake is a way of keeping it sterile. And a hug is a way of opening up to someone and being vulnerable and saying, I trust you, I love you, I want to be connected to you. At least, you know, that was my perception of it. And so I really felt like greeting people with hugs was a part of my activism in the world. And in the last few years, more and more, the idea of greeting someone with a hug without asking has been questioned and has been challenged. And at first I was really bothered me that I was being asked to not hug people. And I was asked to ask for a hug because it's not the same. The first time this happened, it was really that really knocked me. I was at an event that there were a lot of burners there, but it was not a burner event. And I knew a lot of people there, but I was meeting new people, and I was greeting people with hugs, and I walked up to a woman that was with some friends of mine, and I said, "Hi, I'm Halcyon," and I walked to her with open arms out, and she said, "Don't you ever approach a woman like that?" And she just started yelling at me, and I was like really, struck, like, "Oh my gosh, like, I'm so sorry. I did not realize that this was such a challenge for people." And I actually, I left the event, went up into my room, and just was like kind of freaked out. I wrote online, I'm like, and I finally got my bearings and went back to the event. And it was kind of an unconference where people would write on boards like what they wanted to do classes about, and you then would attend based on what course people were making. And this woman put on the schedule proper hugging etiquette and consent as a class that she was going to teach. And I was really just like, oh man, it was really, and I wasn't ready to accept that. You know, I was like, is it worth it to live closed off? Is it worth it to hold back connection? And yeah, is it worth it to hold back connection for fear that there might be somebody who does not like human touch? And because at the same time, a handshake is human touch too. In fact, to me, a handshake is far more intimate because it involves skin to skin and people are touching doorknobs. And if I give someone a handshake, I gotta go wash my hands. If I hug you and I do chest to chest, and we just touch, embrace chests, then that to me is a much cleaner greeting. So I was really struggling with this, and I was really feeling like I don't like that we have to go lowest common denominator. And I was like, what's the big deal? You just ask for a hug. I'm like, it's not the same. First of all, I don't want you to give me a hug. I don't want to give you a hug. I want us to hug. The hug is significant because it is the dissolving of the me into the we. And if you give me one, that doesn't have any of that same magic. If you give me one, it doesn't have any of that magic. It is when we greet in that connection that is so wonderful. So at the time, I publicly was like, no, I'm gonna keep hugging people. But because I have such a significant fear of offending and bothering people, I eventually started in people when I didn't know people, I either didn't hug or would say hi. You know, it's always so weird. I go hi and just kind of like nod my head at people and put my hand out to a shake and don't put my hands out to hug, you know. I made the case before, for a while I made the case that if I put my arms out, that is a nonverbal request for hugging consent. And you can put your handshake out or say, no, thank you. And I thought that was comfortable putting the onus on that. But I keep reading more and more people making these announcements online saying, guys, do not hug without asking for consent. Do not hug without asking for consent. And I guess I'm to the point now where okay. And I wish that in that state, I could still feel that I'm as open-hearted and I'm connecting with people, but I'm not. But I'm offending less people. So, yay! I guess maybe I have to have faith that this is part of the small wireless connection. It could be part of the stage right now of where we are, working through awkwardness to get to a better place. You know, consent is not something that is fully accepted and understood. And so right now, asking for consent there is awkwardness to it. It isn't fluid. It isn't, it's still far more romantic to kiss a lover at sunset than it is to say, can I kiss you right now at sunset? But we might be getting to a place where that's not the case. It may be so understood that there is this romance, there is this connecting aspect to ask for a hug, is this beautiful connection, and is not a demonstration, a reminder of all the challenges and issues that we have between people. So I now ask when I say, if I am in a place where I would like to hug someone, or it's not that I would like to, I would like us to share a hug, that's the problem. But what I do now is I say, are you a hugger? Because if they say yes, then I just put my arms out and I go in for a hug. If they say no, then I don't hug them. But at least if I say, are you a hugger, then we are both, it's not a request, it's setting the stage for the natural greeting. Because what I want is a natural greeting. I don't want a transaction. I don't want you to give me something. I don't want to give you something. I want us to share something. And if you're a hugger and I'm a hugger, then we can share that thing. But the truth is, that interaction is not the same as a greeting. I get it that there's people who take advantage of hugs, people that hug in uncomfortable ways. I'm not saying that we should be okay with people like rubbing their crotch on you or fondling your back or holding you for a long hug with the first time you meet someone. I think that those things are all, crossing the line. But a chest-to-chest connection, when you put your arms out, felt like it was like okay to me. I recognize that there are aspects of my perspective that are unique to me as a male, and that if you are a female, there's elements to that dynamic that I cannot understand, and that you may have had experiences or continue to have experiences or simply are just fed up with not being, your space not being sovereign and respected, that the idea that I could expect to touch you and embrace you is not a demonstration of a connection, but is a denial of your sovereignty and your rights and disrespecting your body. And that's what bums me out. That bums me out that is the mental dialogue that goes on as we're having this negotiation for connection. So I read something today where people were making the case that please don't hug without asking. And actually, I don't even think they said please. They were just like kind of demanding that, how dare you? I've been a little bummed in recent weeks. Politics is some of it, and some of it is these types of dialogues that there is, even within the people that I feel like are my heart open left wing tribe, there is all of this struggle and all of this kind of feels like a challenging path to maneuver in the efforts of being non-offensive, kind of like, I appreciate the dialogue that happened when I did the blacked out tooth as a dress up experience at Utopia. And I appreciate people saying, hey, that's a little privileged to think that that's funny. There are plenty of people with can't afford dental work, and so what you're really doing is making fun of poverty. I appreciate that. But I also recognize that this is, it is, it also, the very dialogue itself sometimes pushes people who are less receptive than I am to be resistant. And it feels like as this, you know, team open heart is divisive and eating itself and attacking each other, whereas team right wing has no trouble being united in their in making us the enemy. So that's hurt my confidence. It's hurt my optimism a little bit. Again, I guess I have to go back to a faith that that we're going to get to a better place. Let me finish up here. We'll do a hug, and then I'll try to address and pay attention to some of the comments and the posts that people are putting in here. I feel like I should try to say something optimistic and uplifting. I guess I will remind myself that there is always crap or cone. There is always things to be focused on that are positive and amazing and miraculous. And that, you know, even being in a place where we can have these dialogues, and that, you know, even this moment of connection and the technology that allows us right now to be having this experience is miraculous and amazing. And the sunset last night was amazing. And my connection with my family is amazing. And the support I have from friends is amazing. And it is the quest for balance is important. And so as I am kind of focusing on these things that I haven't quite sorted through, and the things in our culture, in our world, that have yet to find rose-colored bliss perfection, that at the same time there are a countless, near infinite number of miracles. So thanks for being one of them. And thanks for your patience as myself and the rest of us figure out our way on this wacky adventure. Thank you. I love you. Let's have a hug. Grab yourself by the shoulders and give a special thank you and appreciation to all the veterans. And a special thank you and appreciation to all the firefighters. And a special moment of compassion and love to those that are dealing with the devastation of fires. And a special moment of compassion and love for all those that are suffering, that are cold, that are alone, that are hungry, that are oppressed. And as we send them love, we also take a moment to be grateful for all of our blessings. Grateful for this body that we hold. Grateful for our minds. Grateful for our perceptions, for the taste, the smells, for the incredible self-healing system that is our body. Taking a moment to go deeper and appreciate not just our personality and our thoughts, but deeper than that, our very life force, the love that shines through us. And knowing that no matter what is going through the minds of other people, whatever jersey color they are wearing, that deep down we all have this life force, this love, this light that shines through us. So for three breaths, let's be in that state of oneness, of connection, of unity. We all seek love. We all want our loved ones safe. We all want security. We all are susceptible to fears. So in this moment, let's just be the light, be the love for three breaths. In through the nose. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors, happy Hug Nation. I love you.